Night and day, at home or away, always carry Tums. T-U-M-S. Tums, famous quick relief for acid indigestion, presents A Date with Judy, starring Louise Erickson as Judy and John Brown as Father.
Hello?
Hello, Judy, this is Oogie.
Oh, Oogie, would you mind terribly if I went out with somebody else tonight?
Judy, you don't know what you're saying. You can't do a thing like that. You just can't.
Oogie, don't get so excited. I'm just going out with Mitzi. We have something very vital to discuss.
Oh, Judy, I should have known that you wouldn't give a thought to another man.
Well, of course not. I'm surprised at you, Oogie.
Oh, I apologize, Judy. What are you and Mitzi going to discuss that's so vital?
Men.
That's Judy, folks. Judy Foster, the lovable teenage girl who is close to all our hearts. Your date with her each Tuesday is arranged by the makers of Tums, famous quick relief for acid indigestion. Friends, summertime is travel time. And whether you go by car, by bus, or by train, first of all, buy Tums, famous quick relief for acid indigestion. Then, anytime travel troubles cause you acid-upset stomach, just slip one or two pleasant-tasting Tums in your mouth. Almost instantly, Tums neutralize the excess acid, soothe the heartburn, bring you sweet welcome relief. So do as millions of travelers do. Night and day, at home or away, always carry Tums. Still only 10 cents a roll, 3-roll package a quarter at any drugstore. Ask for Tums. T-U-M-S. Tums for the tummy. Well, it's late afternoon at the Foster house, and Judy's parents and her kid brother Randolph are on the front porch when Judy comes dashing up the front walk.
Mother! Father! Randolph! Oh, I'm so glad you're all here.
What's the matter, dear?
What's wrong?
Nothing. That's just it. Everything is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Oh, well, isn't that nice?
I'm so thrilled that I could just disintegrate.
Well, put the pieces back together and tell us why.
Guess who Minnie Ha-Ha is?
Come again?
Guess who Minnie Ha-Ha is?
An Indian.
No.
No?
No.
What a nasty shock for Hiawatha.
I am Minnie Ha-Ha.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Well, congratulations, dear. Has anybody seen evening paper?
Father, isn't just heavenly? Out of nearly 50 girls, I was chosen to represent Minnie Ha-Ha on the Bon-Ton department store float in the Indian Commemoration Day parade.
Oh, I'm so happy for you, dear. Has anybody seen the paper?
Well, I don't understand.
Mother, I am going to stand on a float, the lithe and graceful figure of an Indian maiden, while Oogie, representing Hiawatha, a stalwart brave of the tribe, stands before me, pleading to me with his eyes.
What's he pleading for?
To get off the float.
Well, I didn't know there was going to be a parade.
Well, of course, Mother. Didn't you ever hear of the Battle of Rooney's Creek?
Well, no. I can't say that I have.
Mother! It was fought right here in town by...
Rooney?
Who was he?
Well, he... I guess he...
Owned a creek.
Yes. And during the French and Indian Wars, a battle was fought practically on the premises of our own home, and you, my own mother, didn't even know about it.
Got news for you. Neither did your own father.
But the whole town is celebrating it. There's going to be the parade, and the mayor's going to make a speech, and the governor may be here, and in the night there's going to be a big reception.
Who won?
Won what?
The Battle of Rooney's Creek.
Oh, I don't know.
You are going to be Minnie Ha-Ha, and you don't know who won? The Indians or the Pale Faces?
Uh-huh. Hey, you know what? That reminds me of a little joke I heard the other day.
A joke?
Yeah, you're kind of a riddle, you know. Do you know... Do you know why an Indian chief wears a hat?
No, the Indian chiefs don't wear hats. They wear feathers.
That's beside the point, Doris. Just a riddle. Doesn't have to be based on any scientific facts, you know. I ask, why does an Indian chief wear a hat? And you ask why.
Why?
To keep his wigwam. Don't you get it, Dora? To keep his wig warm. It was a pun. Wigwam. Wig warm. See, it's sort of a...
Melvin, whatever gave you the idea that Indians wear wigs?
Look, Dora, the
Now, look, dear, I don't mean to be unkind, but you're quite wrong. First you say Indians wear hats, and then you say they wear wigs.
Dora, it was just a joke.
I saw a picture of some Indians the other day, and they certainly did not have hats on.
Dora, I give up.
Forget about the joke. It was just a little something I threw in. Has nothing to do with the question under discussion. Let's get back to Minnehaha on a float.
Well, I don't think you should go around spreading misinformation.
I happen to be something of an authority on Indian affairs.
Father, you do?
Well, of course. Haven't you ever heard him on the warpath?
Never mind. Matter of fact, there isn't much about the history of Indians that I don't know. Remember my collection of Indian spears?
Oh, yes.
Whatever became of them, anyway?
Well, you sent them to the museum in Chicago.
Yeah, so I did.
And they sent them back, collect.
Well, they probably didn't want to accept the responsibility. Go ahead, Judy. Anything you want to know about being an Indian, just ask me.
All right. There is something I want to ask.
Go right ahead, dear.
Will you give me $5 to rent a costume?
What?
Didn't you say the float was for the Bon Ton? I should think a department store would pay
for it. Oh, I'm being paid a salary to be Minnehaha.
Well, then.
But I have to provide my own costume.
Pay it for it out of your salary.
I can't.
Why not?
Well, my salary's $5, and if I have to pay $5 for the costume, I'd be working for nothing. You wouldn't want me to do that, would you?
Judy, after this, I wish you wouldn't take jobs. I can't afford them.
But you will pay for the costume, dear father, dear?
I guess so. In view of the fact that this is an Indian commemoration.
Oh, father, you are the nicest father a girl ever had for a father.
Well, you think so?
Now I've got to tell Oogie he's going to be Hiawatha.
Oh, doesn't Oogie know about it yet?
No, and that was how I got the job over all those other girls.
What do you mean?
Well, I told the Bon Ton I would not only provide my costume, but I would also provide Hiawatha.
You know, somehow I can't quite see Oogie as Hiawatha. His knees aren't right.
Oh, Father, he'll be breathtaking.
You really think he'll do it?
Oh, of course. He'll say yes immediately.
No, no, no.
But, Oogie, you wouldn't want me to stand up there on the float Hiawatha less.
I wouldn't mind.
Oogie Pringle, I think you're terrible. You don't give a darn if our town celebrates Indians or not. You're a terrible citizen.
Well, all right, Judy. I'll be Hiawatha.
Oh, that's darling of you, Oogie. Just darling. I knew you would. Because you're the most angelic boyfriend to go steady with sometimes that a girl ever had to go steady with.
Oh, Judy, when you say things like that, I just go all unsettled inside.
Well, everything is settled now. Not a thing remains except for you to raise the money for your costume.
You mean I... Judy, you are now looking at an ex-Hiawatha.
Oogie.
It's the truth. All the Indian blood in me just evaporated.
Oogie, you can't do this to me.
Well, the discussion has come to an end anyhow. I've got to go over to Jojo Duran's and get my money.
What money?
Well, the money Jojo owes me. His father always pays him his bi-yearly allowance promptly at 6 o'clock in July. And if I'm not there by 5 minutes after 6, he'll have spent it.
Oogie.
Now, Judy.
Oogie, have you ever thought what you'll be 15 years from now?
Well, sure. A man.
I mean, what will people call you?
Mr. Pringle.
No, Oogie. I mean, will you be known as a miser or a business tycoon or something noble like a philanthropist? Oogie, I think you'd make a wonderful philanthropist.
You do, Judy?
Yes, Oogie. You're just the type for it.
What does a philanthropist do?
He gives his money away.
Oh.
For a noble cause. Like throwing money away on a Hiawatha costume for the sake of the woman he loves.
Gosh, Judy, would a little thing like that make me a philanthropist?
Yes, Oogie.
That's amazing.
Then you'll do it for me?
No.
I simply couldn't budge him, Randolph. I couldn't budge him.
Well, I guess he just doesn't want to be Hiawatha. And can anybody blame him?
I know just what'll happen. Tootsie Whiteman will get the job away from me. She was runner-up for the job when we applied.
My heart goes out to you.
There I might have been. Minnie Ha-Ha on a pedestal with Hiawatha pleading to her. And now see what's happened.
You might have fallen off the pedestal.
Randolph.
Well, those bumps on State Street are pretty bad.
And now Tootsie is prepared to steal it all away from me. And to think that at one time, when we were young girls, she used to be my bosom friend.
Time marches on.
Oh, good evening, George.
Ah, hello there, Mr. Foster.
I just stopped in for some cigars.
Regular brand?
No, something a little more expensive tonight. They're for a customer of mine.
Oh, big deal?
Oh, yeah, I gotta go clear to Cleveland tomorrow to cinch it.
Cleveland? When are you coming back?
Day after tomorrow.
Say, Mr. Foster, would you do me a big favor while you're there?
Oh, sure thing, George.
Well, you know this big Indian celebration they're having here this weekend?
Do I? It's already cost me $5.
Well, I've been thinking it might be good business for me if I kind of got in the spirit of things and dressed up the shop a little.
Uh-huh.
I thought I'd put up a few decorations.
That's a good idea.
You remember those wooden Indians they used to have stood in front of cigar stores?
Well, sure, I remember. I mean, I've read about them. In the history books.
Yeah. There's a fella I know in Cleveland got one of those.
Oh, is that so? Cleveland Indian, huh? You get it? Cleveland Indian?
Yeah. Yeah. this one is a girl wooden Indian, though. Princess two for a nickel.
Ah, two for a nickel. Those were the days.
Of course, that's just a nickname. Anyhow, I'd like to get her, but it's too late to have a cent. Would you mind bringing the princess back with you?
Bring her back?
Yes, my friend will have her crated, and all you have to do is just check her on your railroad ticket. Won't bother you any. She'll just be in the baggage car.
Oh, sure, George. I'll be glad to take care of it for you.
But, Mother, I've got to talk to Oogie.
You remember Oogie, don't you, Mother?
Well, sorry, dear, but you can't use the phone now. You know Father's going to call up long distance from Cleveland any minute.
But I've got to persuade Oogie to be Hiawatha.
Well, persuade him after Father calls.
Well, how do you know he's going to call right now?
Well, why, I said so. 7 o'clock, sharp.
He's 45 seconds late already.
Oh, that must be Father. I'll get it. Hello?
Hello, Judy. And guess who this is?
Jojo Duran?
No.
Donald Spellman?
No.
Judy, what are you doing?
Guessing who it is on the phone.
Not now, dear.
Mother says I can't guess now, Oogie, on account of we're expecting a long-distance call from my father.
Oh, okay.
What's on your mind? Quickly.
Well, I've been thinking the situation over, and if you can get your father to pay for my costume, well, I'll agree to be Hiawatha. Reluctantly, of course, but, well, I'll agree.
Oh, Oogie, you're so wonderful. I tell you just how wonderful you are, but I've got to hang up now. Thanks for calling. No, goodbye. Oogie says he'll be Hiawatha with reservations.
Indian reservations?
Randolph, you're getting more like your father every day.
And I didn't even need to read him the piece out of the paper. Mother, I didn't even need to read him the piece out of the paper to help persuade him.
What piece out of the paper?
This right here. I'll read it to you. The Indian celebration will be one of the biggest local events ever held in this town. Honor guest will be the Princess Pocatello, direct descendant of the Indian chief who fought so bravely at the Battle of Rooney's Creek.
Yeah, bravely, but did he win the battle?
It doesn't say.
Well, I guess we'll go through the whole celebration without me ever knowing.
I'll answer this time. Hello?
Hello, Dora.
Melvin, how are you?
Fine. How are you, dear?
Fine.
How are the children?
Just fine. I'll let you talk to Judy for just a minute.
Good.
Here, dear, say hello to your father.
Hello, Father. How are you?
Fine. How are you, Judy?
Just fine, Father. Here's Randolph.
Hello.
Hello, Randolph. How are you?
Sick.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, just kidding.
Ah, yeah. Let me talk to your mother again.
Here, Mother, your shift.
Yes, Melvin?
Dora, I've got good news for you. I sold the Johnson property.
You did?
For twice what it's worth.
Oh, Melvin, I'm proud of you. Children, your father sold the Johnson property for twice what it's worth.
Oh, that's fine. Now he'll only lose half what he paid for it.
Let me talk to him again a minute, Mother.
Judy wants to talk to you again a minute, Melvin.
Some phone call.
All right.
When are you coming home, Father?
I'll be on the 4:15 tomorrow, and please don't anybody meet me. Remember what happened the last time.
But, Father, anyone can make a mistake about railroad stations.
Not when there's only one in town.
Father, now that you've just made so much money on your deal, would you mind paying for Oogie's costume, too?
I certainly would mind. What costume?
For the Indian parade.
Indian parade? Oh, my gosh, I almost forgot something. Judy, call George at the cigar store and tell him I'm coming in on the 4:15, and I'll have the Indian princess with me.
You have who?
Yeah, never mind, he'll know what I mean.
Father, you wonderful man. Well,
goodbye now. After all, this is long distance. Be sure to tell George. Goodbye, dear.
Goodbye, you fascinating man. You'll never guess who Father's bringing home on the train with him.
Not Uncle Cecil again.
No, the Princess Pocatello.
Really?
Yes. Think of the importance of it. I'd better call the newspapers immediately.
Friends, can you imagine a composer turning out a hit tune while bogged down by acid indigestion? Well, neither can Jimmy McHugh, famous Hollywood songwriter. Jimmy says, nothing gets a songwriter out of tune quicker than acid indigestion. So Tums go with me everywhere. Tums are the fastest, surest, handiest relief I know. Yes, Jimmy, right you are. At the first hint of acid upset, one or two tasty Tums almost instantly neutralize troublesome excess acid, relieve annoying heartburn, soothe, and settle your stomach in a twinkling. And no danger of acid rebound, because Tums contain no soda or other water-soluble alkalis to over-alkalize your stomach. So never over-alkalize, always neutralize excess acidity with Tums. Still only 10 cents a roll, 3-roll package a quarter at all drugstores. Get Tums this very night. T-U-M-S. Tums for the tummy. And now back to A Date with Judy.
But, Oogie, I think my father is entitled to some publicity out of this. After all, it isn't every man who brings a princess home with him.
Yeah, usually only princes do that.
When I call the newspapers, I'll incidentally mention that you and I are going to star in the Bonton Float. On second thought, instead of calling the papers, why don't I just call the mayor?
The mayor?
Yes, and let him call the newspapers. It'll be more prestige. The story will surely land on the front page if the mayor gives him the story.
You think the mayor will talk to you?
Well, of course. He's an intimate friend of Father's. Father has often told me the mayor is one of his intimate friends. In fact, they're just like that. Buddies. Father said so himself.
Who did you say?
I said Melvin Foster. Melvin Foster, you must know him.
Oh, he's the Foster of the First Street Bank, isn't he?
No, he's the Foster of the Second Street Cannery.
Never heard of him.
But he's your buddy. He's your...
Constituent.
He's your constituent.
Oh, yes. Well, now, just what was it you wanted?
Well, my father told me long distance. He's coming home from Cleveland on the same train with the Princess Pocatello. In fact, he's bringing her.
The princess? Well, now, I was wondering when she was going to get in. I was hoping to get a wire from her. Thanks for calling. I'll go ahead and arrange a welcoming committee.
And you might phone the newspapers. And by the way, you might also mention to the newspapers that I, Judy Foster...
Porter, how soon does our train get in?
6 o'clock, Princess Pocatello.
Oh, that's fine. Then there'll be time to wire ahead for a hotel reservation.
Yeah.
Here, I have it all written out for you. Please send it for me.
Yes. Yes, Your Highness.
Here, Porter, it's that brown bag over there. Why, Mayor Anderson, how are you?
Foster?
Well, imagine you remembering me. I haven't seen you since before elections. Well, is all this crowd for me? Or did a celebrity come in on the train?
It's for you and a celebrity. Where's the princess?
Princess? Oh, the princess! You know about her?
Of course, the whole town knows about her.
Is that so? I had no idea she was so well known.
Well, of course she is, Foster. That's why all these people are here, to meet her.
That's so. Well, I got to admit, she is kind of unusual.
Unusual?
Oh, rare. It belongs in a museum.
What?
A real museum piece. A relic.
Is that so?
Must be 100 years old if she's a day.
I had no idea.
They're pretty well preserved, however. Of course, her nose is kind of smashed in. One of her ears is gone completely.
No.
Yeah, but I imagine she'll look all right after a good scrubbing.
A good scrubbing?
Filthy, dirty.
so. Well, where is she?
Oh, she'll be on the next train.
The next train?
Yeah, I couldn't get her on this one. The baggage car was already pretty filled. She's big, you know.
The baggage car? Well, I'll be darned. Hello, Jane. This is Mayor Anderson. Listen, I'm down at the station. No, she didn't come in. A fellow by the name of Foster said she'd been on the next train. Look, I want you to change the reservations a little. Be sure the hotel gets her a nice, soft bed. She's 100 years old, you know. You better have a nurse on duty, too. Yeah, you can give the story to the newspapers. Well, I didn't know she was that old either. Say, maybe it would be a nice idea to have a caterer whip her up a nice cake with 100 candles on it. Hmm? Yeah, send it over to the hotel. Well, I'll wait here at the station till she comes in. Say, Jane, have the nurse draw her a nice bath with plenty of soap.
Is there anything else, ma'am? Or rather, princess?
No, this room will be fine. Why are you looking at me so strangely like that?
I kind of thought you'd look older.
Oh, really?
Boy, you sure don't show your age.
Well, thanks. Gracious, what's this?
A birthday cake.
For me?
Yep.
But it's got so many candles on it.
Yeah, 100.
Take it away.
Yes, ma'am. It does kind of heat up the room.
This whole thing is very odd. I don't understand it. No one met me at the station, and on the way up, the elevator boy asked me if I'd ever met Lincoln.
Did you ever meet Lincoln?
No.
Well, I'm supposed to tell you to sit down and take it easy. Your nurse will be along in a minute.
My nurse?
Yeah. She's going to give you a nice bath.
Oh, what's going on around here? I'm going to call the mayor. Melvin, I'm so proud of you.
You are?
You'll never guess what's happened.
What?
The mayor's secretary just phoned, and she said that the mayor insisted, absolutely insisted, that you be on the reception committee tonight for the commemoration ball.
What?
Aren't you thrilled?
Oh, I don't know, Dora. I don't mean to sound immodest, but after all, old Melvin Foster stands for something in this town. Naturally, the mayor would want me. It doesn't surprise me a bit.
Well, of course.
Oh, Dora, you mustn't let these things get you excited. Little honors of this sort should just be taken as a matter of course.
My tuxedo! Is it back from the cleaners? And a shirt. Dora, I just got to wear a shirt.
Melvin!
Dora, you don't seem to realize how important
it is. Well, Melvin,
everybody in town will be there.
Well, that's what I've been trying to tell you, dear. Isn't it wonderful?
I'm scared.
My goodness, what a crowd.
Do I look all right, Dora?
Oh, you look handsome, Melvin. I just can't wait to be presented to the Princess Pocatello.
Dora?
Yes, Melvin?
I won't have to curtsy, will I?
Oh, of course not. I wonder where Judy and Oogie are.
Aren't they on the float?
Oh, no, they're supposed to meet here first.
Here you are, Foster.
Mayor Anderson, how are you?
I'm just fine.
Yeah, Mayor, I'd like you to meet Mrs. Foster.
How do you do?
Well, now, this is a pleasure, Mrs. Foster. You know, you are married to a very remarkable fellow.
Well,
aren't you nice to say that?
The princess has been asking for you, Foster.
She has?
Yes. She said, and I quote, "Melvin Foster is the one man in this town I really want to meet."
Oh, I wonder how she heard of me. Say, do you suppose she heard about those Indian spears I own?
That might be it, Foster.
I'll bet she tells a very interesting story on the Indian spear.
Yes. And I'll be surprised if you don't get the point.
So, you're Mr. Foster.
Yes, I am, Princess.
Mr. Melvin Foster.
Yeah, that is I.
Well, how is that? You're the one man in this town I really wanted to meet.
Is that so?
I understand I owe a great deal to you, Mr. Foster.
Oh, well, of course, I've always been very much interested
Mr. Foster, would you mind answering some questions?
Oh, of course not, Princess. Ask me anything at all.
Do I look 100 years old?
Eh?
Is my nose kind of smashed in?
Why, no, but...
Is one of my ears gone completely?
Well, no, but...
I appear to need a good scrubbing?
Well, no, but...
Mr. Foster, my lawyer will call on you in the morning. Good night, sir.
But, madam, the princess, your honor...
Judy Foster, I might have known you were responsible.
Father, I could die. That's what I could do, die dead.
Gee, I just thought of something.
What, Oogie?
Maybe the princess will have your father beheaded.
Oogie, don't be silly.
Might as well be beheaded is the way I feel now.
Father, don't worry. I'll go to her and explain everything.
Oh, no, Judy, please. I'm positive no person by the name of Foster could get near enough to her to make an explanation.
Oogie, I've always thought that the perfect thing about you is your name is Pringle.
Well, yes, it's Pringle, all right, but Judy...
If you just ask her to dance or something and explain what happened.
You want me to dance with another woman? Oh, but I've got you down for all my dances.
I'm willing to make the sacrifice to save my father's honor. Oogie, you couldn't let my father's honor go unsaved, could you?
And so that's the way it is, Princess Pocatello.
Oh, and all the time he was talking about a cigar store, India.
Yeah, it was just a coincidence that got mixed up.
The poor man. Princess two for a nickel.
Quite a mistake, wasn't it?
Quite.
Everything is all right now and you've forgiven him?
Yes, I've forgiven him for everything. Even the 100 candles on the birthday cake.
Well, would you kind of... Well, let him know you feel that way.
Oogie, ask Mr. Foster to dance with me. It's good to get home. Aren't you tired, Melvin?
Tired? I should say not. I feel like a 2-year-old.
Oh, you do, do you?
Yes, sir. What an evening. What an evening, huh? You know, that princess is quite a dancer.
Yes, so I noticed, Melvin. Once you started dancing with her, you kind of monopolized her.
Ah, well, she was a great sport. A great sport.
Well, all I can say is it's a good thing I'm not the jealous type.
You know, the princess said that she hadn't met anybody so interesting in years.
I think jealousy is silly.
She said she couldn't help visualizing me on the plains with the wind running through my hair.
My mother always said that I didn't have a jealous bone in my body.
As a matter of fact, she said... The princess said that I reminded her of that noble red man, Chief Snow on the Top.
Would you like to know what you remind me of?
You what, Dora?
That noble pale face, Chief Pop in the middle.
We'll hear more from the Fosters in a moment. Look, folks, why lose a heap of precious sleep simply because acid indigestion bobs up at bedtime? Get relief with Tums and get to sleep fast. Yes, before you slip into bed, slip one or two Tums in your mouth. No mixing or stirring, you don't even need water. Tums are as easy to take as candy mints. And almost instantly, these friendly Tums neutralize the excess acid that's keeping you nervous and sleepless, calm and settle your stomach so you settle down fast for a good night's rest. With Tums, there's no danger of acid rebound either. Tums contain no soda, no water-soluble alkalis, so they won't over-alkalize your stomach. Get a handy roll of Tums this very night. Still only 10 cents, all drugstores. 3-roll package, a quarter. Ask for Tums. T-U-M-S. Tums for the tummy. There are many imitations, but no substitute for Tums. And now, here are Judy and Oogie.
Judy.
Yes, Oogie?
You were the most beautiful mini-ha-ha I ever met.
Oh, Oogie, what a sweet thing to say. And as Hiawatha, you were the... Well, you most certainly were.
Oh, thank you, Judy.
And I want you to know that I appreciate you fully.
Well, I'd do anything for you, Judy. Even out of reason.
I know, Oogie.
But one thing I'll never do, even for you, is be Hiawatha again.
Why not?
My knees got cold.
This is Ken Niles inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday at this time to keep your date with Judy. And remember, night and day, at home or away, always carry Tums. T-U-M-S.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.